You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
The Around the NFL Podcast is running out of money tags.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast presented by New Era. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined in a room filled with heroes, Connie Fox, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, people?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, hey, hey.
Connie, you've returned.
I'm back, and it feels so good to be back.
Connie does. It has a little extra excitement today, and she's been gone so long, she had to have a visitor's pass just to get on. Exactly.
I'm wearing a visitor's pass around my neck. I lost my work badge. I'm a mess.
It's been a while. I feel like it's been easily over a month, maybe two, since you've been on the show. I think the last, like, God, you were in France for the World Cup.
Oh, it was crazy.
That must have been wild.
That was it was so much fun. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I was in Paris for the semis, and people were commandeering trash trucks and climbing up monuments.
Wait, commandeering trash trucks?
They were just like crawling all over it, and
that's
they were like
felony,
directing
brother.
The trash trucks. It was insane. It was so much fun.
How many World Cups has France won?
I think they hadn't won since, like, the 80s.
Do you feel like...
No, they won, like, 2008.
Right? Yeah, because I randomly was in Montreal.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Zinedine Zidane.
I was in Montreal when they won there, and the
this kind of
way off. Look, World Cup is, like, not my forte, but I like to revel in it.
We live in a post-truth world.
Like, the 80s was the
They won in 98. That was the last time they won.
Okay.
Do you feel... So, 20 years, significant. Did you feel while you were celebrating... Who were you with, by the way?
So I was with John.
Who?
John Ronald Gonzalez, born March 12th, 1977, is an American sports writer, who's married to NFL media broadcaster Colleen Wolf. John, who's a Pisces, resides in Los Angeles with his wife and two dogs.
Who
so
else?
John, Kristen.
Got it.
And my friend Miles, who he now works at NFL Films. And who else were we with? We were with one other person. Oh, my friend Alexis. I don't know. It was a hazy period. It was a while ago.
Did you good crew.
Did you find, yes, it sounds like a great crew. Did you find that... jumping into the middle of a country's like huge celebration, maybe did you belong there?
So
did you earn the moment that everyone else had?
That you asked me that because one of my buddies from college, he's French and his parents live in Paris, so he was there, and so he brought us into his group of friends. So we were kind of like, this is awesome. John loves World Cup. I'm like, yeah, it's great when it's on, but I'm not one of these people who are like, oh my God, like Mbappe, he's amazing. You know, who he is. But,
nice Mbappe ref.
Hey. But so when we had our friend Alex there to like welcome us into the whole group, then like they were painting our faces and we were just a part of it. It was hard not to be a part of
it. When you were in the UK as their run was going on as well, right?
Yeah. And that was we went to Handsome Hank's like family pub there.
Really? Oh, wow.
And watched it. It was awesome.
Yeah. Are there like pictures of Hank on the wall?
There aren't. I was sad about that. It was like a very nice
wow.
pub.
Now,
and we saw a bunch of ATN
there.
Listeners.
His brother's
too.
Oh, did. Oh yeah, you had a tweet up as well.
Yeah, we did. I was like, hey.
How was that?
It was awesome. Everybody was so
Was everyone
cool.
well behaved?
Yeah. There was not like one weird person. Everybody was really, really amazing.
Usually there's a weirdo.
Yeah, not one.
Not a single
one.
Weirdo
not
at this tweet
one.
Up.
I
we
swear.
Have two
you know who you are.
Everybody was really, really cool. Thanks for coming out, guys.
I always wanted to ask somebody who's been to France, did they actually say zut alors there, or is that something they only teach in like high school French class?
I didn't hear that in it's my like, travels.
Oh, yeah. It's like
zooby zooby zoo?
Zut alors.
Yeah. No.
I think it's like a product of
I just heard
50 years ago. Oh, yeah.
Did you, you've been back east a lot, too. Hit up any community golf courses by any chance?
The no. history is very rich
Dan.
Here.
It is good to have you back, Connie.
Though I was talking to our producer for the Good Morning Football Weekend show, and he was like, I do want to get you guys out here, and I was thinking about going to the golf course maybe as like a bonding thing. I was like, I don't want to go to a golf course.
I know exactly where to go. all right. Here we are. Friday. Thank God it's Friday.
Hey.
I was thinking of taking that little acronym scenario. What do you guys think? TGIF.
How many days of the week are left for you to adopt?
Well, I'm really all in, as you know, on Monday. On Monday Wednesdays, yeah. I've been on Wednesday's corner
right,
recently.
You've had Wednesday for a while.
Friday, I've always been pounding the table.
You're
for
like a George Strait song.
You got that Friday feeling.
Yeah.
It's just our
so
luck.
I got 4 days left.
Yeah, it's just our luck that those are our three tape days.
So today's Friday show, we're going to go through the news. Mark is not with us, by the way, as you probably could tell.
He's alive, but he's just not with us.
I think he's alive, and I would assume he'll be back on Monday. But again, there is a weekend, and I'm big on the weekends too, Saturday and Sunday.
Huge, yeah.
Flying about the weekends right now.
Hopefully hot take.
Mark makes it through.
Weekends are good.
There's a little gathering at West Manor on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
People talking. Streets talking.
Streets are talking.
I can't wait. Can we bring our dogs? Or is there going to be children there?
You can bring your dog. Are your dogs not friendly
to
children?
No, one is. The other one's a little dicey.
I would say maybe leave the menace at home.
Yeah, exactly.
Dogs and
he's got a lot of baggage. Leave him alone, guys.
So we're going to hit the news, which will include a major season-ending injury to a first-round pick. Bummer. Dez Bryant update and John Elway talking Colin Kaepernick. Uh-oh. We'll hit the three preseason games that were played last night. And we haven't done it in a while with Connie back. Why not hit the mailbag? Sound fun. Fun show.
That's great. I'm excited.
Okay, let's do some news.
Over the land of life, it is the land of the free.
Great, iconic Aretha Franklin, who passed away this week. That was before a Lions game, I think on Thanksgiving. Yes. She also performed the Star-Spangled Banner before Super Bowl 40 in Detroit. And I will say one thing. That video, which was put up on NFL.com yesterday after news of her death was reported, that was a 4.5-minute version of the national anthem, which is unheard of. And you would think that everyone would be, like, really bummed out. But if you watch that video, all the players and obviously the crowd going nuts, legend.com/members.
Aretha Franklin.
Password.
I would challenge anyone to find as many, like, beautiful songs over a 15-month period as Aretha Franklin had in 1967 and 68. She is phenomenal.
What a run.
Yeah.
Who would be, like, is she like the Gale Sayers? Like the most brilliance packed into a short period of time? Maybe your boy, the Cincinnati quarterback that you write poems about?
Ken Anderson? Oh, Greg Cook.
Greg Cook.
Well, Aretha lasted for what? 50
yeah,
years?
She is durable.
She's
amazing.
An institution.
Not Patti LaBelle, everybody.
No, not Patti LaBelle. Nope. And maybe Frank Gore-esque, Greg. You've been very quiet about
Hall
Aretha.
Hall of Famer.
Maybe emotional right now.
Higher peak than Frank Gore.
No, I want to listen. Wes is an expert, so I don't have much to add. I'd rather listen to him.
She's like Walter Payton.
Ooh.
High peak and lasted a long time.
Sweetness. All right, let's move into the news and start with, yes, bad news on the Throne of Ease where Patriots rookie offensive lineman Isaiah Wynn suffered a torn Achilles and is out for the year. It occurred during the 37-20 win over the Eagles on Thursday. Rap Sheet had the reporter. This is a 23rd overall pick. He was kind of in line, maybe not a defined role just yet, Greg. Maybe a swing tackle. Maybe he was going to find a role. Probably would, considering he's a first-round pick. For a Patriots team that lost Nate Solder to free agency, this is a tough, tough blow.
And a guy that draftniks who love line play were just thrilled and excited to watch play. I think Mike Golic Jr. was saying he wasn't looking forward to any player in the league as much as Wynn. And it hurts because he was playing right tackle because Marcus Cannon hasn't practiced in 2.5 weeks. And the thought around Foxborough was when they moved Wynn to right tackle earlier this week, that was a bad sign for Marcus Cannon's availability. So suddenly this is a position that's just always injured for the Patriots. They never have both of their tackles ready. And it's starting another season like that. Looks like Trent Brown is locked in as their left tackle, was a former 49ers, 6'7" guy, and they're just going to have to piece it together at right tackle again, which they did a year ago when they had, you know, the best offense in the league, basically. But it's still, it's not easy to do year after year.
Their first two draft picks are injured.
Right. Sony Michel hasn't practiced at all either in a few weeks. And they lost their top pick for the season a year ago, too. They've had a little bad luck. A little bad luck, Danny. I know. Don't say it's a disappointing. You're happy about it.
I do not root for injuries, Mr. Rosenthal, and how dare you. But I would say that even the Patriots, who always find a way, this feels like it's going to be a real challenge. In general, there's a dearth of quality offensive line talent in this league, and when you take a team and you remove the franchise left tackle, even if he maybe wasn't as good as the amount of money you got
Very
from the Giants, a solid guy, and now you remove the guy that was kind of supposed to be the next man up to take them into the next that's going to be a challenge for Billy Boy.
Yeah, the depth isn't good because they lost Cam Fleming, too, who was one of their reserves, and now he's gone. So he's with the Cowboys now. So it's not like they can just keep rotating guys in. This is kind of a tough issue for them.
In other injury news, Jerick McKinnon is a really buzzy running back for the San Francisco 49ers. They went hard after him in free agency, brought him over from the Vikings. He's going to be shut down for the rest of the preseason following the leg injury that he suffered last Sunday during practice. They're hopeful. It's a strained calf. They're hopeful that he's going to be ready for week one. I guess they're confident that that's the case. But Wes, not an ideal scenario, especially we keep hearing how important McKinnon's going to be to this offense. You want him on the field.
Yeah, strained calf, which could be a nagging injury. I never like to hear those soft tissue injuries. Matt Breida also out with a shoulder injury. They just signed Alfred Morris. They've got Joe Williams, who Spice Rack was big on coming into the league and lost his rookie year.
Kyle Shanahan was big on him, too, and gave up some draft picks to go get him.
And admitted that he questioned whether he should have done that.
That's why I love Kyle Shanahan. Yes. He's very honest. They're like, are you still happy that you moved up? He's like, have you regretted that at all? He's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I've had some second thoughts. They're injured, the 49ers. George Kittle's also injured. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they paid McKinnon so much money. Like, they have to be careful with him at this point.
Yeah, makes sense. In other news, the long-awaited, I mean, we've all been on the edge of our seats waiting for the Dez Bryant-Cleveland Browns meeting. It finally happened on Thursday. He flew into Cleveland. This is a weird move. They had video at the airport of him signing Browns helmets. It's like, you know.
How was that already there, right?
I guess it's – even if he doesn't sign with the Browns and he left Cleveland without a contract, I guess it's kind of a cool thing to have. It's unique in the memorabilia business. Isn't that, like, the most important thing?
That might be the closest he gets to signing a Browns contract.
Yes. So let's talk about that. Colleen, we'll start with you on this one. Your thoughts on Dez. Is this kind of just, like, due diligence that the Browns are doing because it got public? Or even on Dez's side, due diligence? Do you take this seriously as something that could happen?
I mean, when you think about it on paper, it's like, okay, the Browns could start the season if they were able to sign Dez, come to some type of agreement with him. They could have Dez, they could have Josh Gordon and Jarvis Landry. So that's theoretically on paper, that looks great. But then when you think about that, it's like, okay, you don't know about Josh Gordon. And then Dez Bryant, like, he's played the X position his entire career for like 8 seasons in
he threw
Dallas
up the X.
Like that was his thing. Now he's got to go to a different offense, learn new things, and it's got to be humbling to go from being a Dallas Cowboy to then being a Cleveland Brown.
I've seen this movie in the 80s and the 90s over and over again. Everybody's going to the prom, and the one guy doesn't have a date, so he's got to settle for the girl that nobody wants.
Ooh.
And this is Dez. Like, this has been in the water for a few weeks now. He doesn't want to sign with the Browns, but he's going to go visit him and meanwhile hoping his phone rings from another team.
But what if he ends up falling in love with this girl? What if this girl ends up being, like, really cool, under-the-radar girl?
She gets, like, the She's All That makeover?
I love Lainey Boggs.
Down the steps at the red dress?
This is the movie I was thinking of.
No way!
Right. Is it the Freddie Prinze Jr.?
Yeah. Yes, kiss me.
Yeah, because put on some black glasses on Rachel Lee Cook. she's not great looking at all.
Rachel Lee Cook coming down the staircase in the red dress is... I'm not going to say it's your era, Wes, the Fast Times Phoebe Cates scene, but for people of a certain age, yes, her coming down those steps as Sixpence None the Richer plays.
So good.
I mean, I'm not saying it's the greatest scene in the history of movies, but it's probably top 10.
I've seen it a few times.
I just
didn't see
it.
Come on, Greg.
Oh my God.
Born at age
really?
32. You were right in the demographic.
She was a beautiful woman, but I, you know, wasn't paying money to go see Freddie Prinze Junior movie. Give me a break.
It was pretty good.
Are we sure the Browns want Dez Bryant? By the way,
why are you moving away?
No, I'm just saying.
Why are they bringing him in if they don't want him?
From She's All That.
I have more.
I'm
She's
on
All
the
that.
IMDb what? Page right now.
I just wanted to say, like, it's a movie worth checking out. It's a time capsule of the late 90s. There's at the end
Matthew
of the,
Lillard's
yeah,
in
yeah, Lillard's involved.
That's not selling it.
And then at the prom where everything.
Lillard's involved.
Oh yeah, the guy who played Shaggy is in it.
So good.
At the prom at the end, the entire senior class has a coordinated dance to Fatboy Slim's. Check it out
oh,
now.
My God.
And Usher is the DJ.
I think
it's
Greg,
just something. It's a relic.
He Lil' Kim is in there. Oh.
Yeah, he's not going to appreciate it now.
Yeah, I don't think it would.
Well, I think you might. I'm just saying. Anyway, back to Dez.
Classic.
I'm not sure that the Browns want Dez because I'm giving them some credit because Dez makes no sense on the Browns if Josh Gordon is on the Browns. I think that's kind of the unsaid part of Hard Knocks, the unsaid part of the Browns season. Is Josh Gordon going to be on their team? How is anyone particularly confident that he's going to be on their team when they're talking about what's ultimately a struggle in his life that's been going on 5 years that you have no idea how it's going to play out? And the goalposts keep moving. When he first was out of camp, it was like, oh, he'll be back soon. Now it's like we're kind of optimistic he's going to be there week one. And when I look at this roster, if Josh Gordon's actually out there, Dez makes no sense whatsoever. You have Antonio Callaway, who's making some noise. You have Rashard Higgins, who's had a really good camp. You have Landry, and you have Gordon. Dez Bryant's a progress stopper. If you don't have Josh Gordon, then I can kind of see where it makes sense. And when you saw Hard Knocks the other night, John Dorsey seemed all about Dez. So I don't think that was fictional. But Andrew Healy, who's kind of their analytics guy, comes in there, and you can just tell by the tone of how he was talking about his age – That he was maybe not such a big fan of bringing Dez in, and they cut off the conversation before it got too interesting. But I think there's an open debate. Like, why would you have Dez if you have Josh Gordon on that team?
Yeah, Healy, the personnel strategist, he put Dez at the bottom of the page of options for the wide receiver market.
Buried him!
And kind of offhandedly said that Dez was 30, and then Dorsey's the cowboy. I think he likes being in the news and being like, well, I'm going to dance with Dez Bryant. I think he likes that stuff. So Dez was like, well, 29, and then the most strategist way possible, Healy goes 29.7.
No.
Yeah, just like, this guy is 30.
I do that on my spreadsheets. I do age to the decimal point.
Well, you're the scientist.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
No way.
But just like to Greg's point, like, and I wrote this in the Hard Knocks recap, I had to rewind it a couple times.
Wait. And
I thought that he actually said 29 going on 70, not 29.7.
No, he said
but that is like, I think that's kind of the reason I thought he might have said that is because that's kind of the tone he was speaking in.
Yeah, and I think that makes
they ain't doing a dance.
I think they would if Josh Gordon isn't coming back, which I think has to be absolutely recognized as a possibility. Like, how could it? It's very strange that anyone talks confidently about a man who's dealing with struggles that have absolutely nothing to do with football and that no one has any control over. And by the way, how many different times on this podcast have we said Josh Gordon's career with the Browns is over? We've said it about six different times because there's been different parts where we thought he'd come back and then it didn't happen for him. And you hope the best for him, but come on.
And there are more Dez whispers. We won't even get into it here about what's going on with Gordon whispers about what's going on behind the scenes with him. So yeah, the longer this goes on, at first it felt like it was, oh, he'll be back in a week. Now training camp's over. Mm-hmm. Now the season is right in front of us. We'll see what happens. In other news, John Elway was asked about Colin Kaepernick. Why? Because back in the day, a Kaepernick to the Broncos deal seemed possible. It was on the table, and it did not come to fruition. And now with the Broncos, Paxton Lynch, and if you watched Paxton Lynch's first preseason game, he looks worse than ever. Chad Kelly got moved to the number two guy. They might need a quarterback, but here is what Elway said about Kaepernick in that situation.
Colin had his chance to be here. We offered him a contract. He didn't take it. So, you know, and as I said in my deposition, and I don't know if I'm legally able to say this, but he's had his chance to be here. He passed it.
Greg, what's the context we need here?
The sycophantic laughter after Elway said that is cringeworthy. I read a legal analysis, by the way, on SI.com that said, no, you shouldn't have said it. It could be that comment alone could be an issue for Elway. And the idea that because a guy turned down your contract once that he wasn't somehow possibly going to join your team in the future is silly, because like the best way to get job offers is to turn them down. It's like, of course, that doesn't necessarily preclude him signing Kaepernick in the future. He has his right to not go after him. But the context is also that John Elway said, we're looking for quarterbacks. I mean, he said about Chad Kelly, we've got to have confidence that the backup guy can play and win football games. We're still in that process. Even though Chad played well, we'll see how he does this week. If something were to happen to Case, can he come in and win football games?
Yeah. Can I add some context of my own?
Sure.
Yeah.
This happened when the Broncos were reigning Super Bowl champions. They didn't have a quarterback. Colin Kaepernick had requested a trade. The Broncos, in turn, requested that he take a pay cut and make about $7.9 million. He didn't want to. So, to me, if I'm John Elway, a competitor, a Hall of Fame quarterback who competed his whole life, and you didn't want to come to me and be the quarterback of the Super Bowl champions, I question your competitiveness. Well, so, I think that's important context, too.
Well, plus he's being deposed. And mm-hmm. John Elway's making, you know, to some people, looks like he has questionable morals or ethics because of everything that's gone on. And that's why he's part of this legal case. So it's not a shock that he would not want to sign the guy who he's going up against in court.
I totally see John Elway's point that you did have a chance to sign here and you didn't want to. So we're moving on. We don't think that you're competitive enough.
But just because he turned them down once doesn't mean that like that's it. Like I feel like that's kind of silly.
Obviously, it does. He said
it does. I feel like that's kind of silly though.
Why?
Like just because like okay, so you turn someone down for a date once, you're not gonna like go back and try again. Like that's how I ended up marrying my husband.
Like not everybody.
That's how everyone gets jobs is you turn them down. Then people keep coming after you and after you, and eventually you say yes.
Noting
it is.
That's how a lot of people get. You end up getting jobs.
I mean this. The NFL, like, I know people like to always say, well, I wouldn't get away with this in my job. It's the NFL. It's not your job.
Right. No. But in this case, like, of course he's not signing him. It puts him in a crazy spot. Like, they're literally going up against each other in court.
Right.
And so whatever you think about that, like, it's not surprising me that John Elway's not involved. My favorite thing about all these quotes in terms of John Elway wondering about Chad Kelly, is this really a guy that we have confidence in, could win games if Case Keenum's – he's talking as if Paxton Lynch isn't even in the room anymore.
I know.
He's like talking as if he is not on the team. That's over.
Yeah, I was watching that game last night. He looks completely lost, Paxton Lynch. This legal quagmire is for John. Oh, we got some kicking news.
Aguayo.
Sturgeon. Robbie wants redemption. Caleb wants blood.
This is a new low.
It's back. Didn't think it'd be back.
Yeah, you didn't think, did you? You thought it'd run its course, and perhaps it has. And yet, here we are, the hottest, and you know, this is my corner, the hottest kickoff kicking battle in the NFL right now is right here in Los Angeles, where Robbie Aguayo, the disgraced former Buccaneer. That's
fair. In one corner.
In one corner. In the other corner, the vet, Caleb Sturgis. They are both kicking their balls off right now, performing extremely well, and it's putting Anthony Lynn, the Chargers head coach, in a very tricky situation. How tricky, Chris Wessling? He's thinking about carrying both kickers.
No!
Oh, what kind of decision-making is that, Anthony Lynn? This is why the Chargers are the Chargers.
Ridiculous.
Pick a man and be a man.
I think the greatest defense of your Charger skepticism is Anthony Lynn. Like I don't believe in the bad luck thing or whatever like voodoo curse you think they have over him. It's Anthony Lynn. Of course they're not carrying two kickers on the run.
I don't believe he even really is considering that. I think they were just asking him kicker questions.
Was it just for this podcast?
It was almost, I mean he said it. He said it, so you have to take what he said. But I can't imagine that would actually happen.
I kind of like him more now if he's just messing with everybody.
Yeah.
He said it was a very close competition. Sturgis had a better day this week, I believe. They moved Aguayo up to the first team for the first time in a while, and he missed three kicks.
It's an interesting concept, because if the guy misses the game-winning kick, you can't bring in the other guy because the game's over.
Right.
Fair point. Can't argue that.
That's very true. And if you're going back and forth, and then the other guy misses a kick, and you go back to the other
now
guy,
it's in both their
now
hands.
You're 0-2. And here we are again, the same place we are every September with the Chargers.
I think there is an open question about what Anthony Lynn's going to be like as a head coach, because he definitely had some game management issues last year.
What year is this for him?
This is his second year.
He pivoted
off of this terrible run-first philosophy that was going very poorly for him. You have to give him some credit for pivoting.
Oh, absolutely. He can
in
learn.
Week five, and then they were a better offense the rest of the way.
Hey, but Ron Rivera's had like 3 or 4 epiphanies. Who's to say that Anthony Lynn can't have a few?
Here's the number one reason to doubt the Chargers, is they have basically 8 road games and then 8 kind of road games that they don't have a real home field. It's a pretty big disadvantage that not many people really talk about much.
I'd rather have no home field than no quarterback.
Finally,
that's fair.
In the news, it is one of the more polarizing debates in recent memory in the NFL.
It really is.
Tyrod Taylor's been in the league for what, 7 years now? Something in
Sounds
that realm?
Right.
A while.
And we've always just called him Tyrod. In fact, his fantasy name, it's a bit of a winking nickname, but Ty God. That's what people call him. So Ty is like the main setup to get into the bit. Ty's Ty. Now we're being told, and even the Browns.
Ty's not Ty.
Ty's not Ty. Ty is Tuh. The Browns VP of communications says that it's Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod.
Tyrod?
Well, you want to.
Where are you putting the emphasis?
You
here?
Put the you put the emphasis on Rod. No, Tyrod.
Tara Taylor.
Tyrod.
Put the emphasis on Rod, Greg.
This is ridiculous. He's been in the league way too long to all of a sudden just start changing his name. Why didn't he correct this in the beginning?
He didn't.
Tyrod.
In his defense, it was a teammate that started bringing this up. He's never said one word about it.
Tyrod.
Now, this is
Tyrod.
Controversial because his mother came out and said it's actually Tyrod.
His mother calls him Ty.
Well,
what? That's confusing.
Well,
of course.
Mina Kimes, who did a great feature
Kime
on
Bomb?
Him. Who
Love Mina.
Kime Bomb.
We're Kime's trying to
Bomb.
Get her on this podcast, so come on and join us, Mina. She called his agent and his father, and they both call him Tyrod. And they both said Tyrod.
This is a vortex of confusion.
How about the Browns VP of communications sits down and he just be humble and let Tyrod live?
There should be a long form on this. I want answers.
Well, we got a company-wide email telling us what the official pronunciation is, and they're going with Tuh.
Well, Tuh. Pussy, that's
I don't accept it.
That's what you think.
What?
But the VP of communication literally responded to Mark Istook, who's a great host on our
also a champion on the Shield softball team.
Yes,
champion. Center fielder, 2016.
So, champ. The Peter John Baptiste, who you'll see in the meetings in Hard Knocks, meeting with the coaches and kind of preparing them for a press conference, he is that VP. He literally responded to Mark Istook, who sent out that company-wide email about Tyrod's pronunciation, and he wrote, "Stop the madness. Ty is fine if you call him either. I asked him yesterday how he introduced himself on NBC Sunday Night Football, and he said Tyrod." So there you have it.
So this is like Nagy all over again.
No. It is.
It's like anything's acceptable.
Which is going to be a major problem.
Oh, wait. He's the senior VP. So that might have been him actually pulling a power move.
So we got no answer here.
I think we...
It's an ongoing situation.
We need to have Tyrod or Tyrod on. Both of them need to come on.
Tyrod.
I mean, he's waffling a little bit here.
Let's move on. That's what's happening in the news. All right, let's get into the games, and let's start, on the Throne of Ease.
Dorsett to his right. He looked to right. Now he rolls to by. Time for Hogan. Touchdown, Patriots.
Boy, with patience. This is a tough thing to do for a quarterback.
Tom Brady to Chris Hogan. Get used to it. The 41-year-old quarterback looks as good as ever. Played 6 drives in the first half, opening drive touchdown, 19 of 26, 172, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Tom Brady, still impossibly Tom Brady, offensive line issues and all. And the Patriots roll over the Eagles 37-20. Connie, we're going to start with you on this one. So, yes, everything all is well with the quarterback, at least in New England. But Now, Nick Foles is someone to worry about. In the second quarter, he suffered what the team described as a shoulder strain. This is the defending Super Bowl MVP, and this is at a time when Carson Wentz is still working his way back from knee surgery. You nervous about this?
Little nervous about it. I never thought that I would be nervous about Nick Foles, but even before he got hurt or banged up or whatever he is right now, he looked rusty, like really rusty.
He missed more throws in one quarter than he did in the entire Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But
his accuracy,
that's how you kind of want it if you're an Eagles fan.
He was way off. He was way off the point so many times. And I think, too, like he sat out a lot of practices in training camp because he had the neck and shoulder spasms, too. So it's obviously all connected with the strained shoulder. And I wonder if, I guess it's going to be Nate Sudfeld against the Browns next week if he is really banged up. But, yeah, that's concerning because they don't want to rush Wentz back. And when you have Foles there, you don't have to. But if Foles is banged up too, then you wonder if the timeline will be sped up at all if it's between Wentz and Sudfeld.
They might have something in Sudfeld.
He looked good.
He made more. Yeah. He was looking like Nick Foles, Super Bowl Nick Foles. I mean, he had five wow throws in that game, and I thought, okay, they're pretty good at developing quarterbacks.
Yes, they
are. I'm just glad that Brady and Foles finally shook hands.
What, so I'm completely detached from this. I kept on seeing headlines, and I'm just like, I'm not going to care. But I want to know, since you brought it up.
It really does not matter.
Does this go back to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, because there was so much chaos on the field. They never found each other.
The Philly media has been driving this story for 6 months,
imagine
saying, like,
caring.
Somehow he snuck.
Last night, they found each other. About that.
How many Jimmy Kempsky stick figures have been attributed to this controversy?
I just saw Kempsky a couple weeks ago.
Kembom.
Did Foles have an issue, or did he?
No,
they didn't care at all. This was a completely fabricated situation. Yeah, but they shook hands. Finally, they looked into each other's eyes.
Oh, good.
There was a moment.
There, by the way, I am a little nervous, I have to say, Connie, as someone from the Northeast. I've been around Eagles fans in my life. How you guys are going to handle this?
I'm wearing my Eagles shirt.
I do like that shirt, by the way.
Thanks. My mom was using it as a rag around the house to clean the house. Yeah.
Those are the best. That's real vintage.
It is.
Man.
Some Eagles fan paid $1,000 to rent like a airplane with a sign that had like the final score and Super
Bowl. Well, that's what I was going to get to.
I salute you.
That's kind of fun.
That was what I was going to get to. It's like someone paid, how much does that cost? $600, $1,000 to pay someone. The Eagles fans are, and now you have the Eagles and the Patriots fans. These two fan bases are pumped full of swagger.
I love
it. Kind of a Super Bowl rematch. I don't know if Atlanta would still be standing afterward.
Yeah, that's true.
Could happen.
Well, the Patriots got their revenge, so it's all square.
It's all square.
It's even now.
The Patriots 2-0 in the preseason, so they pick up where they left off. Where are the Eagles? Do they 0-2 now?
Yeah, look, it's the preseason. It doesn't matter. They don't have Carson Wentz. Yeah,
talk about your harbingers.
Yikes.
You think this is a hangover?
Yikes.
The play that Foles got hurt on, though, was Adrian Claiborne providing pressure. He's been the best pass rusher in their training camp. He's had two big games. It's kind of been an under-the-radar signing. Even if you took away that six-sack game he had last year, he had more pressures than any player on a pretty good Falcons defense by far last year. Even if you took away that game, and if you add him and then the Patriots' top pick a year ago, Derek Rivers, who also looked very good in this game, and this rookie, Juwan Bentley, who's
making really good.
A lot of noise at inside linebacker, suddenly the Patriots' defense and their front seven has a lot more juice, which they needed.
Bentley's going to start, isn't he?
Looks like he has a chance. He'll play. Kyle Van Noy, Dante Hightower, they'll all be in the mix.
He looks better than Landon Roberts.
He looks better than him. He looks better than Kyle Van Noy, I think.
Over under, Greg. Patriots, 12.5 wins.
I'll go under.
Oof. Oh, look at that.
Collapse.
I mean, if you squeeze
I'm excited,
it hard
though.
Enough, you're going to get that nice ice-cold water come right out.
That's Scott Zolak.
That broadcast.
Narrating Rob Ninkovich.
That's my favorite part of the preseason is watching the preseason broadcast because they're like such a train wreck half the time. They keep taking the wrong cameras and people are like surprised that they're on camera all of a sudden. There was a conversation at one point during the game. What would you rather fight, a shark or a bear?
Really?
Like, yeah. I mean, it was
I'd
a fantastic
much rather fight. A shark.
Well, speaking of telecasts, let's get to the Jets and Redskins because that was a ESPN Monday Night Football practice. Let's call it. So let's head to that.
Got it. Oh my!
by. Great effort that time as Peak gets the touchdown catch from Teddy Bridgewater.
What a throw, guys. What a throw.
And how good does that feel after the last 2 years for Teddy?
The Jets have an interesting situation going on at quarterback. Sam Darnold got the start against the Redskins on Thursday night and looked a little bit like a rookie. He looked like a 21-year-old rookie. He threw an interception in the red zone. He didn't always look comfortable under pressure. He held the ball a little bit. But Teddy Bridgewater, with the exception of an underthrown deep ball that was picked off, played kind of out of his mind. He really, really looked like a guy who could start for a lot of teams. So, Wes, I'm curious your thoughts on this. Josh McCown is making $10 million this year, okay? Teddy, I believe, has really no guaranteed money.
But he's making $6 million if he makes the team.
He makes the team at $6 million. Darnold is obviously the future. Who should be the starter of this team, and how do the Jets handle the situation?
It's not the minor leagues. It's the NFL. You should try to win games. I think that Teddy Bridgewater should start. And if somebody wants to give you a third-round pick for him, then maybe that changes the equation. But Teddy Bridgewater outplayed him in the first game when everybody went gaga over Sam Darnold, and he thoroughly outplayed him in this game. Teddy Bridgewater wasn't just good. He was outstanding in every facet of the game, except for the one back shoulder fade that was thrown to the inside that you mentioned. But Bridgewater is playing like a real franchise quarterback. Now, durability is an issue. He's not the future. They're already invested in Darnold. I just don't see the rush to put Darnold in there week one.
Yeah, Teddy looked really good. Some of those throws, just where he was putting the ball, and he was just taking shots downfield too. Like, he's not afraid to do that. We know that about him with his arm strength, but he was able to move around the pocket. He took shots. His legs, you know, it got hit a couple times.
He got rolled up on once and he was okay.
Yeah. And you look at the different quarterbacks they have there. McCown, he's only played one series this entire preseason. So you wonder, like,
it's a strange situation. It's kind of a Jetsy situation because I didn't think bringing back McCown, I thought, made sense at the time because you really didn't know if Bridgewater was going to be okay physically. But now Bridgewater looks like the Bridgewater before the knee injury. So now they do have an issue. I'm with Wes on this right now. I think that Bridgewater looks the best. He's looked really good 2 weeks in a row. Why not start him if he continues to play this way next week and then have Darnold and work him in? Again, he's 21 years old, Darnold. You're going to have plenty of time. And then I wonder, Greg, is there a trade market for Josh McCown?
No, I don't think so. He's making $10 million. Yeah. I think the only chance is to trade Teddy. But what they needed to do to get a draft pick for Teddy was exactly what happened last night. Because what made Teddy unique before he got hurt was he kind of combines like the touch and just the little, like the shoulder fakes and just the small things. Kind of, he reminds me of Phillip Rivers, but he combines that with an ability to really move exceptionally in the pocket. And he started to show last night that he's getting back to that type of player. And that's the type of player that you maybe would give up a second round pick for, especially if an injury happens. You don't see like a logical fit. The teams that I tried to come up with are really teams that are looking for backups. And are you going to give up a high pick for a backup? I would say you could, but only if you think like, okay, let's get him in the building, see what he's like. If you're the Jaguars as a team that you threw out there, that would be bold. I can't imagine them doing that.
They don't want to mess with Bortles' fragile psyche.
Right.
Isn't Bridgewater the perfect guy for that
right.
team?
I would love to see Bridgewater.
He protects the ball. He has upside. He's young. And
I think there could be a market for Teddy if you get one injury or if he puts another performance like this, because it costs so much to get quarterbacks in the NFL. And so here's a chance to get one on the cheap.
I think his biggest problem, and fans aren't really talking about this, but I imagine every team interested has major questions about his durability. Can he last a season?
But if he can, and that's what you're getting, he absolutely should be a starter.
It's only 2 years removed from that injury. You say only, but that was a devastating injury. It's remarkable the comeback that he's had. And I give the Jets credit. To me, this is not a Jetsy situation because they've played it perfectly.
Yes.
They got too many quarterbacks. You should just get as many as you can see. They only gave $1 million to Bridgewater, and they're in a great position. Worst case scenario, they're just going to have too many good, like solid quarterbacks on their roster, and that's good.
You're right about that.
I'm glad you gave the Jets credit because I do think they've handled this just about perfectly.
All right. On the Redskins side, by the way, Dustin Hopkins hit 5 field goals, including one at the gun.
Whoa.
There's an undrafted free agent, the Redskins wide receiver Cam Sims, who's about 6'5" and makes plays, led the team in receiving the first game and showed some flashes last night. I think that guy's going to make the team.
Samaje Perine got hurt, and yeah. Chris Thompson is not played yet, and people are just kind of assuming he's going to be back to being Chris Thompson, but I don't assume that.
Fit Rob was the focal point.
Yeah, and Rob Kelly's – but that might be a team that, again, is looking for another runner.
Perine had one carry for 30 yards, and then he twisted his ankle. I don't think it's serious. Finally, the Packers and the Steelers.
This is to the end zone. Caught for the touchdown, Graham! And that is where he is so devastating. 8-yard touchdown pass, Rodgers to Jimmy Graham.
There it is, for the first time and probably not the last time, Aaron Rodgers to Jimmy Graham. Touchdown, 51-34.
Woo.
My goodness, Colleen. Fireworks out the wazoo.
I love it. Jimmy Graham and Aaron Rodgers, I feel like this is the beginning of a beautiful relationship.
I do too.
I love this. And I love that Aaron Rodgers after the game was talking about how Jimmy Graham, you know, wasn't really utilized the way that he could have been. And at his past spots, because they didn't really use him a lot in the middle, and he's such a great athlete. I think they're going to do a lot with him. And it's just like, you look at the 3 years he had in Seattle, it was just sort of like a blip. I mean, it was like he got lost in everything there. He wasn't nearly what he was when he was with the Saints. So I think we're going to see even more of that now in Green Bay, especially with Jordy Nelson gone.
That touchdown throw was pretty telling, because Graham didn't have separation. There was right. a defender on his back. Aaron Rodgers threw it about 10 and a half, 11 feet in the air and said, go get it, boy, and he did.
Is he a guy that can shred the center of defenses like the old Jimmy Graham, or is he going to be a red zone beast?
I mean, Greg and I kind of don't see eye to eye on this issue. He's not the old Jimmy Graham. Like, he doesn't shred – he doesn't go down the seam like that, but I think he's still, as a red zone weapon, and Aaron Rodgers
right.
is the best red zone quarterback mm-hmm. along with Brady in the league.
He's going to – I mean, Aaron Rodgers makes everyone better, and he's going to help Jimmy Graham. He can kind of be like mid – he can be like later career, not the very end, Antonio Gates, where it's like Antonio Gates wasn't moving too well.
Or but he's Tony Gonzalez.
He's still putting up 700, 800 yards and 10 touchdowns every year just because he's smart and he's physical.
I think teams are going to have to double him in the red zone.
I think Rodgers is so pissed that Jordy Nelson is gone that he's going to make Jimmy Graham look amazing.
It was a cool moment.
Oh, that's going to work out for Jimmy Graham. A little revenge that works out for Jimmy Graham.
Right.
He said it was a cool moment when the Lambeau crowd gave Rodgers a huge ovation. I love the Packers crowd is great, but they gave him a huge ovation. And he said he was like tearing up. Like, he was getting pretty emotional. He was getting emotional talking about it afterwards. I think the fact that he had football taken away from him and where he is at his point, like, he's ready to destroy the league.
His little hype bunny, Jake Kumerow. Another good game. Like, this guy's had a strong camp. Touchdown in the first game. Touchdown last night where he outran the defense for about 50 yards. I think he's making the team.
Outside linebacker for the Packers, Reggie Gilbert, who was a practice squad guy most of last year, had 2.5 sacks. On the other side, the Steelers, James Conner looks really good. And you continue to wonder if this is DeMarco Murray 2015 or whatever all over again. Lev Bell's going to be used up this year, and then James Conner will be their guy next year.
Probably.
He looked so good last night.
I thought the same thing. And I also think if Lev's holdout lasts into the season, they can still win games with James Conner.
And they drafted James Washington at the end of the second round, and he's not really playing with the starters yet. But, man, he had a Randy Moss-like touchdown. Yeah. He had 150 yards, and you're just like Kevin Colbert is better at drafting wide receivers than like anyone in the NFL is at anything. He just always finds a winner, and this guy looks like another one.
All right, that's it. Oh, and Big Ben is out of concussion protocol.
He was not concussed.
He was not.
That's what the story is now.
He was like in the protocol, but he wasn't concussed somehow.
Ben, you're okay?
Murky.
Wait, that's not necessary. All right. Those are the games.
That was Ben's reaction, actually, to watching Mason Rudolph throw a pick six.
Oh, on his first pass attempt. Like,
and then Dobbs threw a pick six.
It looks like Landry Jones will be the backup there, according to the reporters around there.
Are you worried about anybody else in the depth chart at quarterback, Ben?
How about Jalen Ramsey calling you just kind of another guy?
He's a confident man. You got to be confident to play the game's most important position. All right, let's hit up the mailbag before we go. Thank you, as always, to the listeners who send in their questions. Blah, 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 blah. Where would we be without you?
So genuine you are.
Vamp, Colleen, I'm looking for the questions. Vamp.
Yeah, it's great to see you guys. I told you I had road rage on the way over here from a parking garage.
It's like you guys are very family friendly here.
See, here we go. I'll take over.
Wait, what, you had road rage?
Yeah, it kind of set me off. I was just angry driving over here after that. I mean, I had to like back up out of the parking garage and go to an ATM because it was cash only and then get back in line.
I saw Colleen pull into the parking lot at like 30 miles an hour. She was like blasting like old school Korn. Like,
that's definitely not true.
All right, let's hit up the mailbag. We'll start with, our boy Eric Jensen at Eric18 Utah. We've been on Eric's podcast. A nice man. What do you guys think about expanding the NFL playoffs? If you are, how would you do it? I'm all in on the way things are. I don't like things changing in general. I like things the way they are, typically, as a person. Not big on change.
That's why you haven't had a passport. Don't like leaving the country.
Yeah.
Wow. Don't like birds.
And, Sydney, do not even get on me. I don't have it yet, but I'll let you know when it arrives. What do you guys think?
I don't want to see the playoffs watered down. Well, the regular season has to mean something, and I agree with you. It's perfect the way it is now.
I like change. I want innovation, and yet the playoffs do not need to be expanded. They are perfect as they are. It makes it more special. Makes the regular season better.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think you need
there's to always
add
two teams that you don't even want in the playoffs, so we don't need to add two more. You know, it's like there's
Wes,
only
do you
like,
want the Bills in the playoffs again?
Right, exactly.
Don't get me started on that.
Like, there's always, like, 9 or 10 teams that really deserve it. Some years, like the NFC last year, it's like, okay, they all deserved it. But there's usually one or two didn't really need them.
But that's also why it makes the end of the regular season so fun.
Yeah.
Because when you have a division like the NFC South.
It's a perfect sport, and nothing needs to be made better. Actually, one thing does. It didn't come up. I'm super nervous about the tackling rule again, the helmet rule.
Oh, I know.
There were some really questionable flags. And Wes, you on Twitter, I saw that you were saying this is exactly what Riveron was saying. And I get that.
We don't want that in the game. We're taking it out of the game. This is the
play. Right, the ones you were talking about, the guys didn't even try to wrap up or tackle. They were just diving at a guy.
I'm just saying,
have to change the way they tackle.
I'm just saying.
It's going to have
just
guys.
Wait until it starts swinging games over very – very suspect
it's
calls.
Right on the borderline.
I'm not saying it's not an issue. It's definitely an issue. I'm saying that tackle, but was it Rodney McLeod?
I believe
so. Yeah.
He can't do that. Riveron says this is what we want out of the game. You led with your helmet. You did not even attempt to wrap
everyone
up. Your arms were down at your sides. We're taking that out of the game.
Everyone that keeps responding like, well, the running back is lower in his head. And it's like, no, you're missing the point. All that matters is are you trying to tackle him with your helmet instead of like your arms?
Yes.
That's basically it. So it doesn't matter what the other guy does.
Well, no, the play you're referring to, that I believe was in
the Washington
game. That's where it's questionable because if a guy seems to be going leading with the shoulder and then a running back gets low and
but
he ends up connecting
because,
with the helmet.
Because it doesn't matter that he hit helmet to helmet. It just mattered that all he did was launch himself with his head down.
He did not launch himself.
I mean, he put himself with his head down. He didn't try to use his arm. He didn't try to do
– got
to
wrap up.
I'm nervous about it. That's all. I see what you guys are coming from.
I am too. I am too.
I think we have a lot of common ground on this issue.
Yeah. Anyway, next question. Ooh, from Raphael at Raphael_102. Who is in the lead to be Chris Wessling's best man, and can I throw my hat into the race? I don't think so, Raphael, but I won't speak for Wes.
Rafa.
I don't want – him to get a big head because it's already big enough as it is. But my brother Nick is currently in the lead.
I mean, it really couldn't get any bigger.
No,
I don't even think it's his head's so big. He's essentially like created another character that he lives inside of while his head is just over the side.
It's absolutely true. He has decided to face the world by creating his own world.
I love Nick.
Good guy to have in a wedding party.
Great,
by the way.
A great hang. You're never going to be bored around him.
Salt of the earth.
Very smart guy. Like, everything about him is great.
This is an interesting race, though, because you have so many brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. Some
are bigger long shots than others.
If I was 25, he wouldn't be the best man. But over the last, 20 years, he's really stepped up.
I mean, let's be real. He seems like the brother. He seems like the best brother. Sorry, other Wesley.
Whoa.
That's not going to help Nick.
Popular vote here.
I mean, it just seems like he's there. He's showing up.
If especially there's going to be a bachelor party, yes or no?
I think there's been talk that we might just go up to Big Bear for a weekend or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm so sad I can't go to that.
Yeah, I generally hate bachelor parties with a passion.
With a bachelor party, it's good to have like a wild card guy. There's always, if you have one wild card guy,
that's true.
It can really send the weekend into a fun, interesting, unexpected place.
Or it could go the other way.
You could be in jail or something.
Backfire.
Nick is kind of wild card.
Here's what I can guarantee will not happen at my bachelor party. There will be no strippers, for one. There will be no playing cards, poker, whatever atavistic BS that is.
What
from
is
like
2002?
The technology of 700 AD. We're going to play cards. Please stop with the playing cards at bachelor party.
What was and that about 700 AD?
Like, cards were like the greatest entertainment in the world in 700 AD. What else are you going to do?
I'm sorry. I'm just over here looking up atavistic.
You also Colleen plays backgammon like 7 hours a day.
I love backgammon.
You got shots for that?
No, backgammon's fine.
Okay.
That's the oldest
Thanks
game in the world, right?
I think it is.
Yeah. Also, there will be no laser tag or whatever that goofy stuff is where people go in the forest
paintball?
And shoot each other with paintball guns.
Paintball.
Yeah, we're not doing that. We're not golfing either. We're not bowling.
It sounds like it's going to be fun.
Wes, what are we doing?
Drinking and ripping on each other.
And ripping farts. Okay. This is going to be a great bachelor party. Let's see. Can Colleen go?
We're reliving the old times.
Really Colleen go. Can go. Why not?
Listen, I don't make the rules. My parents are going to kill you. Okay.
Wow, I like
you can
that.
Absolutely come to the bachelor party.
Thanks. This is great.
No exotic dancers, you said.
No. Come on. No.
Anthony, at A2Low11, how much did ATN pay for Connie Fox to come back on the show? I guess I'll have to talk to her representation about that.
Yeah, I don't handle money stuff.
Jonathan Starr, at Jonathan_Starr. If you could do a life swap for one game day, which player coach would you be? I don't know if we've done this one before, but obviously, Joe Willie Namath, January 1969, Super Bowl III.
Oh, so this is historical. One player, one game?
Yeah.
Wow. That's hard.
I want to be raising the finger at the Orange Bowl and then all the fun that happened afterwards.
That's tough to beat.
Yeah. Because I'm like, if it's just the life, like Tom Brady or Giselle, I would be Giselle, but I guess that doesn't count.
Would you be Giselle after Wes Welker
dropped
the ball?
When would you be Brady, though? I think maybe
Tom Brady. My husband can't catch the ball, too.
Yeah, I would be. That's me.
One of my favorite Patriots moments. It's kind of overlooked. When Giselle railed against Wes Welker in Super Bowl
XLVI. She reached her breaking point, and I love that.
Oh, man.
She had a point.
He should have caught it. Wes?
No, I can't think of a better one than Joe Namath in that situation, which changed the history of the NFL. I mean, I'm sure Joe Namath was having some fun later that night, too.
Oh, my God. Miami?
And then the next 73 nights.
70 years.
Yeah. What about an owner? I would maybe switch lives with an owner.
Surprising.
Any
Surprising
owner.
Choice. You're just like, yeah.
just
like,
an owner.
Yeah, I'd be Kroenke before Rams Saints last year.
I'd like to be a 67-year-old white man.
I'll be Jeffrey Lurie.
strange choice.
I want to be a grandfather. Greg, you going?
Not really.
What about Tom Brady after beat the Rams? That was nice. And he's on the podium. He's like,
If I could beat Tom Brady, though, for one game, I think it would be the Seahawks, though. I think that was the one where he probably enjoyed that one the most, where that felt like the best.
So I love Tom Brady.
Let's see.
What would be the lowest point one? What would be the person that you would absolutely not want to switch lives with?
Tom Brady, 18-1.
Oh, that's good. Mm.
That had to hurt.
Yeah.
That would feel like a mean answer. I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Just, okay.
Just like
I just baited Dan for that.
Like
that's all.
Dick Geron, week six of 2002.
Dick Geron makes it into the podcast.
Oh, no, I got
the first
it.
Time.
Nate Peterman, the first half of the game last year.
Oh,
he
wanted to bury himself in a hole like the SpongeBob gif.
Brutal.
Yeah.
I think he's the slight favorite to start week one right now. You had
That's
to guess.
That's crazy. There's also Tony Siragusa was on Howard Stern a few years back, and he told the story of pooping himself on the field and having to waddle back to the locker room. I don't want to be that guy.
Donovan McNabb puking in the Super Bowl might be up there.
That was bad.
Last one. Matthew Erdman at Matty Matt E. If you were Brian Gutekunst.
Good job.
General manager of the Packers. What would your Khalil Mack trade package look like? Is there Khalil Mack Packers buzz that I'm
There is.
Okay.
It was mentioned, I believe, in the broadcast last night.
It's stupid. I'm not buying it. There's a lot of Khalil
Take
Mack.
Take that, Kevin Harlan.
There's all these Khalil Mack trade articles with absolutely no reporting that the Raiders are even remotely considering. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Greg here that there's smoke but no fire.
What would it? Would it be a first rounder, right?
Yeah, it had to start with a first rounder.
Yeah. It'd have to be a couple.
Maybe first and a second.
Give them one of the. I mean, I like the look of their young secondary. They're starting Kevin King. They're starting Jair Alexander. Jackson. Mm-hmm. Josh Jackson had a good game, but I guess you could maybe throw in one of those. You got so many young cornerbacks.
I don't think they want to throw him in.
I don't know. Like, it's going to cost a lot to get Khalil
Yeah,
Mack.
It, of course. It, yeah.
Kevin Harlan, what do you have to say about what Greg has to say?
The guy is drunk.
All right. Well, that is what it is. A little heat there. That's it for the mailbag. One last note. I meant to hit it during the Redskins-Jets. We'll see about the Monday Night Football team. Booger McFarland seems like a really nice dude. When they would throw it down to him a lot, he seemed to be prepared, but not especially dynamic. Jason Witten is not immediately, like Tony Romo hit the ground running as a star. Yeah, Witten was nervous.
We love you, Schregbaum, Peter Schreger, but no, Witten is not going to be better than Romo.
Is that what Schreger
said? He was a little tight. I thought Booger was great, though.
I got more out of Booger than I did out of
Booger.
Booger was like on a lift.
Well, my
feel. Yeah, it's a weird spot for him.
My big takeaway is that he's essentially in the booth because he was talking. I mean, he was in the mix talking throughout the game as much as almost the guy in the booth. So I thought that was interesting. I thought he was really good.
I did, too. I liked Booger.
He was fine. I mean, better than Tony Siragusa on the field.
Better than Jason Witten.
He said some interesting things, okay, though, like during
That's
during
all
the
you're looking
game.
For there. But you need what you're looking for in Witten is star quality. A little tight, but you got to give it to him.
Too many cliches from Jason Witten.
Yeah.
Too many cliches.
Yeah,
and he just looked tight. He looked a little nervous.
Well, his suit was tight, but it was nice. It was tailored like that.
Yeah.
I think he's got new hair, too. I think he got
really?
The Urlacher
thing. I thought that, too.
He was pretty. It was pretty done up top by the end of his career when he would take his helmet off. And now he has like a very neat 1970s comb over.
No, Dan's right. I think my immediate takeaway is something's going on.
Which I get it. You work on TV. It's perfect. You want to have a full head of hair. A lot of guys do it. I'm not taking shots of Witten. I'm just saying I noticed.
Ooh.
You know,
you're right.
As good as Kevin Colbert is at drafting wide receivers, Dan's skill at noticing changes in a person's face or hair is right up there. It's borderline impeccable.
Thanks, Wes. Really appreciate that, man. Looking forward to going to your house and seeing the new place.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay.
Bring the dog, the nice one.
Leave.
Blitzen will come.
Leave Cujo at home.
Dasher has to stay home.
Which one did I do the ear thing with? And
Dasher. He's a good boy.
He is a good boy.
He's a good boy. He just like gets nervous. He gets nervous around kids because kids like tug on their tails and stuff, and he like
does he
like that.
Does he get snippy?
He's never, but I'm more of the paranoid one.
That makes sense. All right,
being proactive.
We will be back on Monday with another week of shows. So thank you to everyone that listens. A reminder: if you want to, the ATN subreddit is approaching 10,000 members. So if you haven't signed up yet, get on there and join the community. And we are about 2 weeks away from London. My goodness.
Woo.
So,
hey, Dan.
Not right now, Sydney.
Are you dumb?
Okay. Well, listen, some would say I should have expedited, but I did not expedite my passport form. It's going to arrive. We still got time. We have over 2 weeks.
So. Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Stop it.
Okay. You had anxiety before, and it's got to be a little bit level beyond anxiety.
Well, when you say over 2 weeks, I mean it's 15 days. So
Dan is the
it's
one.
Basically
it's over.
2 weeks.
It's over 2 weeks.
Dan is the guy that arrives to the gate like an hour before the plane leaves
true.
Because he doesn't want to miss it. This is crushing you right
when
now.
When does this become actionable?
I don't know. Let's not talk about it anymore. Let's just go into the weekend because I love the weekend. I love Friday. I love Saturday. Sunday is great. Let's go. Stan has us not think about it. Signing off for Tiny Box, the mailman, the old boss, and the Bitcoin princess behind the glass. Till Monday!
You go into your shower feeling tired.
But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.